Welcome, Fetty friends, to lucky episode 13 of Fireside Fetty. I'm your host, Ozone. Fireside Fetty is a show about folks within the Fediverse. If you're seeing this, you are part of the Fediverse. With me today is Chris Ware, man of the Fediverse.
Man of the Fediverse.
Chris and I have known each other for like 10 plus years, but I'm still very excited to have him on. I have a lot to learn from him. He always was such a great YouTuber.
Is this the first time we've done a video together?
I think so.
I feel this is way overdue, and we got to have you on Freebooters as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll absolutely join. Yeah, so for those that don't know, I did a podcast years ago called .x Penguin, and I know Chris was on it, but I don't think that I was on it with him. I think it was we just missed each other, essentially.
Yeah. Or we were like, we might have overlapped on live streams, right? We were on live streams together. That's kind of how we got to know each other, right? Yeah, Hex's Twitch live streams. Was it maybe?
I don't know. I mean, I was on his live streams a lot until he found himself and walked away from all the glamour.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But I still don't know a lot about you, so that's why I was very excited to have you on. And as Chris himself says, in his Mastodon, he was born at a very young age. That's very interesting.
In fact, at one point, I was the world's youngest man.
What?
record I held.
That is, for at least a couple of seconds, right?
Absolutely.
I've never thought of it that way. I love that. For those that don't know Chris, he is a former successful, if I might say so, YouTuber.
Successful by like 2010 standards, but like nowadays having like 20,000 subscribers, nothing.
Success is how you make it in your mind, though. I thought your stuff was always great, but you moved from Google from YouTube to PeerTube, and we'll talk about all of that in a bit, and as many other things. Like, you have a show now, Freebooters, as you said. You have that's a show with a common friend, Drew. It's all about tech. It's you guys rambling together.
Yeah, like it starts with tech, and then basically it descends into madness. So,
isn't that what I mean? That's tech still.
That's tech. Yeah, that's still tech. Yeah.
And you've moved all your old YouTube video. Well, I don't know about all of them. You moved a lot of them over to PeerTube, and you also have a podcast about The Expanse.
Space Virgins.
And we're going to talk about that. Oh, really? Is The Expanse over? Is that why?
Well, we recorded season six, episode one today. So that's going to be going up on Hamish's PeerTube soon. But we've only got 5 episodes left.
Oh, wow. I couldn't
And then it ends. Expanse, so. Well, maybe you just need a little help from your friends.
There you go. I need a reason to do it. But you guys are done. So maybe I should come on and you can be Space Virgins First Contact 2. And I'll watch it for the first time with you guys. But
And we'll just go through all again.
So before we really dive into it, Chris, how would you like to be acknowledged? How would you like to be addressed? What do you go by besides man of the Fediverse?
You know, Chris, he, him pronouns. That's about it. I mean, I'm not. That's about the extent of it, really.
Okay. Straightforward, easy. Yep. Yeah. Space Virgin Second Contact. Yeah. More virgining.
Yeah.
So how did you get to where you're at today? Anything that you find interesting? Obviously, you were the world's youngest man, which is a good start. And then it was just all, I'm hopping on YouTube, becoming a star, growing luscious hair. From there?
Yeah, that kind of thing. The YouTube started before the hair. When I was a kid, so we are starting young. I used to have like slightly curlier hair, and British people will appreciate this. I always used to feel like I was like the Werther's original kid. I don't know if you know what that kid looks like.
I know Werther's originals. I don't know what the kid looks like.
He has like really curly hair, like, and everyone always used to remark on it. And it made me so self-conscious that I kept my hair short right up until my 30s.
Yeah, because in the US, we don't have a kid with a weather.
You don't. No. It's like a kid, and he has a kindly old grandpa, and they share stories. It's an intergenerational bonding thing, and then they have some Werther's original, and then that's the advert. Oh, but yeah.
So now, now you just look like the guy from Game of Thrones.
Oh, which guy? Jon Snow?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I smile more than Jon Snow.
I guess, although, yeah.
He does the man bun better than me.
And he can come back from the dead. We haven't tried that with you yet. I don't recommend it just in case, but
that's yeah, it's, a, it's kind of an experiment you can often only run once. So, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Did you always? You know, right? Yeah, go ahead.
This is going to sound like, sorry to get into the exponential, not the exponential stuff, the existential stuff early on. But you know what? The fact that you can only die once, I find remarkably and oddly comforting just going through life. They can only kill you once.
Yeah.
That's the worst that can happen. So there you go.
I mean, there could be a lot worse leading up to that, though. But once you're there, you don't have to worry about it anymore.
But no, yeah. So, I started YouTube in, I think I put my first video up for 2010. But I started the channel that I've got now in about 2013 after messing around a bit, putting up silly videos. Nothing really landed. And then I realized that, I was a Linux user since university. So it wasn't that I discovered that talking about Linux got me views, ergo I became a Linux person. Like I was a Linux person before then. And I think I was dual booting to begin with. But then you sort of found that it became more hassle than it's worth, really. And when Steam came out for Linux, that I think was the thing that kind of pushed me over. Was it like Wine version 2? Well, somewhere in there, somewhere between Wine version 2 and Steam coming to Linux, that was it. Because I knew that I could play all the games I wanted to play. I'm not a high demand gamer, so as long as I can play a small handful of games, everything else I can sort of make do with. And then I sort of realized that I wanted to, like, I really appreciated open source software. I really appreciated Linux because it was all I could afford. Like, the fact that it's free as in gratis is an incredibly important part of a lot of open source software to me. Obviously, not all free and open source software is gratis. And, you know, that's all fine. It's different funding models, it all works. But the fact that I could get an operating system on my computer, I could get stuff to do my uni work, a few games, a little bit of video editing, all that kind of stuff, like that meant the world to me. I could never have afforded even a Sony Vegas Pro or a DaVinci I didn't even know if DaVinci was around back then, but all the video suites, I wouldn't be here if I couldn't do it on basically a shoestring budget. And I was doing it on old computers and hand-me-downs and stuff that you fit together. And so I always felt like I had a debt, a sort of a debt to the free and open source community because I'd benefited so much from it. And I'm not much of a developer. If you see my bash scripts, it'll probably make you cry. Like, you know.
It makes bash cry.
Yeah. I'm a very, very low level anything to do with code. Like I can do a little bit here and a little bit there, but nothing that can contribute to a project, nothing of any genuine value. It's all hobby stuff. So I thought, well, the only thing I can think of doing that would pay back to the community would be just to promote Linux, be a cheerleader for the free and open source software movement. And it kind of sort of steamrolled from there, really. Well, I don't know if it's steam. It gently rolled down a soft green hill from there. And then YouTube got crap. How much swearing can we do on Fireside Fetty, by the way?
It's my own podcast. Okay. It's my own peer tube. We have no algorithms, so you say and do what you want.
Okay, I'll try and keep it polite, but but YouTube kept getting worse and worse and worse, and the Fediverse was coming into its own. And you got, Mastodon was, well, we had GNU Social for a long time, and it was always very hodgepodge, very, like, in theory it worked, but no one maintained anything enough that it just sort of,
you know. So were you on GNU Social?
On and off, yeah. But it wasn't until Eugen and Mastodon came along that really smoothed out the entire Fediverse.
Yep.
You know, made it more accessible, made it easier to run instances, made it easier to sign up, gave it a familiar UI. Like the UI of Mastodon is probably the most revolutionary thing about it. About 2016. So I was a real early adopter. Started on that, and then it became the place that I spent most of my online time, even opposed to YouTube. And YouTube sort of waned a little bit because, I was always one of the things I always like about the folks that watch me on YouTube, and the people that follow me in general, always really nice people. Like you'll hear a lot of creators say, "Oh, the comments are so mean on YouTube. Oh, the comments are so mean on social media." And I've always felt like I've been quite lucky for a number of reasons. Helps being a man for one thing, but also, I do feel that like you get back a lot of what you put out there as well. So you kind of have to like
interesting.
If you are, you kind of want to be the person that you want to watch you in a way. There, like YouTube, different from TV, is a conversation of types.
That is so. Yeah, that's massively insightful. One of the reasons, and I'll say this openly. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons that I never did Facecam. I've streamed on Twitch, never did Facecam. It wasn't until I was on my own cast that I felt comfortable enough to put myself on camera because I was afraid of that kind of backlash. And like, you need to protect your privacy. If they know what you look like, that's already a piece of the puzzle, right? Mm. And I've had a similar, with Mastodon, with Owncast, with Fireside Fetty, I've had a similar thing that like, everyone just so warming and so welcoming. And I thought, maybe it's just how Mastodon is, but that's a great point. Now that I think about it, some of the people that I watch on Twitch that I'm like, I won't touch their chat. It does reflect what they put out there.
And it was always the rule that I went by, and it always seemed to work well for me. Not necessarily saying it works well for everyone in every sense, but and also, to be fair, over time, YouTube comments, like especially recently in the last couple of years, people really have stopped leaving YouTube comments at all. And it could be the case that the assholes have pushed all the nice YouTube commenters away. It could be the fact that YouTube has just become more of a broadcast platform, less of a conversation, and that's where the Fedi comes in. But for a while now, I had YouTube comments turned off just because there was really nothing of value coming in, and you've got to have some eye of moderating these kind of things, realistically. And I didn't want to moderate it. I didn't want to spend time on YouTube, so I decided I was just going to close off the comments. No consequences for that whatsoever. And the vast majority of people that leave comments on YouTube were passers-by anyway. And the comments on PeerTube, which I think I was broadcast, I've been putting stuff out on PeerTube in one way or another for about 5 or 6 years. Crikey, time goes fast, doesn't it?
Right.
Oh, my God.
we're old, dude.
We are. Oh, look at this gray.
I have tons, too, but I shave mine. Yeah. So.
And the comments were always from day one, they were better on PeerTube. The people like, you don't come to the Fediverse to agitate. You don't come to the Fediverse to get all the attention you can. All of the most superficial draws to social media, they don't really exist on the Fedi. And I think that the people that exist on the Fedi, they just want different things from social media, and they're the same things that I want. It's just a common ground. And PeerTube became sort of my focus, and now it's really the only place I'm putting video content out, at least. There's a few shorts on YouTube that are still going out. I think the last one went out yesterday, but those were just scheduled stuff that I'd done from years ago. But now I'm all in on the Fedi, and it largely because the Fedi is to me not a broadcast platform. Like, we've got the chat here, even on Owncast, and it's a pub of activity. Some might call it an activity pub.
Well, and this This is why I started watching your content, because you are massively insightful. Like, there's always these things that it's like, there's something that draws me to this, and I can't point it out why, but you've always been able to verbalize those types of things. Is that something you worked on to do? That, like, do you take time and be like, let me think deeply on this? Or is this just something in the way that Chris Ware works that you can just put your finger on something and be like, oh, that's why that happens? And I mean, not saying that you're right about everything, right? But I agree with you. But I agree with you absolutely in that we want different things out of social media. We want on the Fediverse. As I've said to people, is a lot of folks that have sought out the Fediverse, there's specific reasons for that. And Twitter and Facebook and YouTube are never going to be able to give you that.
Never. So. Because the thing that makes the Fediverse, is it is unambiguously ours. You can run a go-to social instance on a Raspberry Pi. That's about as yours as you can get it. Google's never going to let you do that. Facebook's never going to let you do that. Signal's not even going to let you do that. It's not just that it's FOSS. FOSS is part of the puzzle or part of the makeup, but it's more about the fact that you own that social media. We own that stuff. We are a community. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit anarchisty, not all the way anarchisty, but it's got that, like, that anarchic element that, yes, the Fediverse is chaotic, right? We get drama all the time. We've got, you know, there's feuds, there's chaos, and that's there is a constant state of chaos if you look at the Federated timeline, right? That isn't always great, but it is part of the dynamics, because it is this chaotic environment that's still very much working itself out. And you know, it's not all roses all the time. Absolutely not. But it's our mess. It's our chaos. Mm-hmm. It's not something that's going to be controlled by the hammer of Google or Mark Zuckerberg, depending on whose phallus he's sucking at the time. You know, it's just like, you know, we are making the best of what we can. And it's a genuine, like, rethink of how social media should work, how the internet should work, how we should even talk to each other as people. You know, you think about the internet the World Wide Web, really, you know, in the early 90s, opened up a Pandora's box. 35 years later, we are still, as a society, as a human race, still getting to grips with the etiquette of it all, the sort of the rules, the cliques, the politics of it all. This is still super new in this chapter of society. We are the trailblazers, and I feel like a trailblazer when I'm on the Fedi, because we are not stocked up in some sanitized shopping mall of the internet. We have created this, and it's great, and it's real.
So, and I've told people, and I don't know if I'm very naive or if I'm bright-eyed and passionate about this, but I really think, so I've only been on it since about 2017, 2018, which is funny because we knew each other and we talked to each other all the time on Discord back then. And I had no idea that this existed until then. And we both kind of found it in our own ways, even though, you know, we were right there. But I've told people, like, I've been around on it long enough that it mirrors a couple of things for me. One, it mirrors the early internet. Mm-hmm. It actually mirrors to me the way that Linux has come about. Yeah. And I really think, because the way that I've seen those things track, I really think that this could be the next big generation of the internet. Not some Silicon Valley boy blockchain thing or metaverse or what AI is on the big next one, which they all have their place. They're all tools. But
they all have one thing in common that the Fediverse does not have. They're all designed to make someone money.
Money, right.
But that's the thing. And when you're doing it for profit, the end goal is to make money, not to make new stuff. If anything, it's easier to repackage old stuff and sell it as new stuff.
Yep.
But the purpose of the Fediverse is just to exist. And as long as it exists, it's successful in doing what it does.
Which is exactly what the internet was made for. The internet was not made to be this big commercial success. It was to share information. It was to connect people, right? And that's why I think...
thing.
At first, like, even, right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, even in those days, it wasn't designed to turn a profit. It was still designed to do a job and do it as well as it could do.
Yeah.
you know, it, I mean, it didn't even become that much of a corporate venture. Depends how you sort of start defining it, because you got like aircraft companies started using it, you know, power grid started using it, you know, like years ago. But when with the World Wide Web, it was like that was when
that was it.
People started, that was where the money really started to come in. That's where adverts
and
could be sold.
It was used to connect everyone in the world. Like I remember being on AOL literally in the early to mid 90s. And I talked to someone, I think in Cambodia, and it like, it blows your mind that there's dial up instantaneous for then that I could just meet someone. And again, that's why I really feel like the Fediverse, its main goal is to connect us.
Yeah.
And I'm hopeful, especially with all the misinformation out there, like, and as you were saying, it's we can run our own, which the way that I see that, if you have the technical chops, which we're here. If you don't have the technical chops and you want to, let folks know, we will be more than happy to help you. But it's your party. Also, you can invite or dismiss anyone from your party that you want, and that's empowering, right? That makes us want to be a part of the party. That makes us want to be good stewards.
Yeah, but also the accessibility of, and I think of Mastodon in particular, because Mastodon is where I, you know, sort of think of as home, where it is particularly useful or particularly good is that, like, yes, there is a technical aspect to it. Now, I am a rubbish system administrator, slightly better than a bash scripter, but I'm still pretty awful. I can get an owncast up and running. Like that is an excellent piece of software. It is fantastic. It's done exactly the way I would do it if I wrote it myself. Like it's absolutely chef's kiss.
Yes.
But there is a technical element that you have to be willing to, like, you know, learn and get up to speed with. Sure. But if you can't do that, then the fact that, you know, instances exist where people can join together, maybe as a group of friends, some people who live in an area, shared hobby, general instances, specific languages, all kinds of things. I've got an alternative account on a Mastodon instance where you are not allowed to use the letter E. Every post you type, you're not allowed to use the letter E. Just
so is that enforced? Like if you something, what instance is that?
Yeah, it's Olipo Social, OULIPO.social. And my username on it is Chris Was, because I can't say Chris Were. So it'll be Chris Was,
which is great because, like, that is again when I first met you, I thought that was a fake name, Chris Ware, and I was like, well, how do you pronounce this? Is it Were? And no, it's Chris Ware, and it's like, but you're missing the H there. But then everyone always gives you that joke, right? Well, yeah. Chris Ware was here or whatever, so Chris was.
I mean, you can say Chris Ware. I mean, there's no actual real pronunciation from it. It's just.
Well, and your background is your lineage is Wales. You're Welsh, right?
The name itself actually comes from Somerset.
I don't have a clue. That's a continent, right?
In
the European Asia vicinity of Australia.
It's. So, you know, you got in the UK, you've got a sticky outy bit, which is, I think, like sticky outy bit here, the belly, you know, the belly of the UK, that's Wales. Somerset is like maybe the thigh.
Okay.
Okay. Does that make sense? Other side of the estuary.
I'm going to open up a link real quick just to see.
And my family's origins, very boring. Two people of commoner heritage, this is actually like written down in a history book, got married, and then some fancy highfalutin, as the Americans say, distant cousin or whatever, gave them a priory to look after, and that priory was called Ware Priory, so this couple took on Ware as their surname. And that's all it is, about 500 years ago.
Oh, see, I don't even know the history of my surname. Like, no one has a clue about mine. So I thought you were going to say like your royalty or something. I mean, I guess.
Well, if you go back far enough, the paternal line of my family came over on the Norman invasion in 1066, and they owned a boat or a ship. They brought some soldiers over on a boat. So that's about I mean, that's a relatively big deal, right?
Yeah, like not unimportant. Like, it's not like everyone owned a boat then, right?
A boat with about 45 people that you can hold for. Like, that's a decent sized boat. I couldn't afford a boat like that.
I can't afford a boat like that now.
No, my granddad had a boat. It was a little fishing boat. Very expensive to keep on the water.
Can you? What if you like stacked people one on top of the other? You think you could get 45 on there without it sinking? That's the big one.
According to the information, they were knights. Now, I think this is the type of knight that is a person who owns a suit of armor, not a knight of the realm. Like, there are a few different knights, I think, has been used for like different terminologies through different history. It's the funny joke on Game of Thrones where they're arguing they're a knight because they had armor. And it's like, well, at certain points in history, that kind of would have been true, but not in the Game of Thrones, where people who are knights are called sir, like nowadays. Yeah. Like Elton John, he's a knight.
Right, he's knighted. Right, yeah. It's an honorary title, kind of like a, you know, an honorary doctorate now or something.
I mean,
like
we should be sending him to Ukraine if we're honest. You know, like
not Sir Elton John. Well, I mean, I guess maybe he could lull
horse,
the enemy
armor, joust it. You know, like get going, earn it.
Well, what about Tim Berners-Lee? He's also a knight, isn't
he?
Yeah,
come on. Come on, Tim.
Or isn't Dumbledore?
He can do communications. Oh, Ian McKellen.
Ian McKellen. That was the other one, yeah.
I think he might be dead. Isn't he dead?
Is he? Oh, no. I think he passed, yeah. Because he was knighted, isn't he?
I'm pretty sure he was knighted, yeah.
Wait, in the UK, you don't have a history lesson yearly to make sure you know every single knighted person?
I mean, they funnel through, and we're supposed to memorize them and then move on. But I'm not a very good royalist, I'm afraid. Very bad royalist.
Oh, that's good.
But anyway, long story short, we should send Elton John to Ukraine.
Okay, there you go. That's the hot take of Fireside.
Oh yeah, point is, yeah. So anyway, these guys in armor. I don't know much about armor, so maybe you could stack them like sausages or sardines.
Yeah,
and they might survive. Does the armor sort of keep them intact, or are they? It's plated on, so maybe not. Maybe it might be worse.
Yeah, I would assume that because like actual, well, any armor is significantly heavy. Full plate armor is like what, 50 or 60 pounds, something like that. It's heavy.
Yeah, but 50 or 60 pounds.
How much is full plate armor?
Yeah, but also bear in mind it's weighted all over your body. So that it's not true. Like it's not like 50 pounds on your back. It's
50 pounds.
You know, a couple of pounds here, a couple of pounds there, the helmet, greaves.
So, I mean, I just visited medieval times, so obviously I'm very historically accurate on all of this.
Absolutely, yeah. The historically accurate
earbuds. Yeah.
Earbuds.
Yeah, let me just say that we were in the Blue Knight's corner and the Blue Knight won. So obviously I am now some kind of royalty in medieval times, at least.
Mm. Do you know, have you ever seen the they're like reenactors. There's like HEMA, which is like something martial arts, like historical.
Oh, yeah.
Something martial arts. Anyway, in Eastern Europe, they have like tournaments where people get in suits of armor. They get actual weapons, they're blunted, but they're actual proper weapons, and they go and just fight each other in armor. It is wow. Do you know, they when they do like Game of Thrones or high fantasy stuff, and they have people fighting, it's always, you know, these beautifully choreographed martial arts kind of, you know.
Yeah, no, it's
I want to see mm-hmm. a gritty Netflix series where they do it vaguely realistic, where there's thumping and stuff. I've seen it on the internet. You can do it because it comes across as so much more brutal. You can hear the thuds. You can hear the groans of the person inside taking the hit.
Oh, yeah. So doing martial arts, they have a group at martial arts called the Warriors of Light, and they basically tell you there's a difference between martial arts and extreme martial arts. Extreme martial arts meant to be flashy and whatnot. You throw your weapons, you flip around and stuff like that. In real martial arts, it's like, no, never turn your back away from someone. Always be on the attack. And that's, you see, as you said, very beautiful, choreographed, smooth. Mm-hmm. In reality, there's going,
it's like,
yeah.
I mean, that's what spears are. Like, I mean, the thing about medieval fantasy that always gets me is that they completely play down the prevalence of spears, because spears were the most common weapon because they're cheap to make. It's mostly wood. A lot of spears would have even had just the sharpened wooden end, but you know, you got a little thing on the, you know, like little pointy bit on the end as well. Very cheap. Like swords, they were like, there's a reason you've got things like ancestral swords, because they were so expensive to make.
Cast metal, so, versus go rip a tree branch off and sharpen the end of it, right?
Exactly. But also the distance, you know, like if
yeah,
you
yeah,
the,
yeah.
That kind of thing, you want the distance.
Yeah.
You know, it's hit them before they hit you. It's, you know,
yeah,
not brain science or rocket surgery.
Plus, I mean, we all saw what, you know, a historically accurate movie Braveheart was, right? You could take down full cavalry. Totally accurate. Nothing wrong with that movie whatsoever. Even when he goes to swing the sword and the guy's head just pops off before it gets a, that's historically accurate.
Or like with the Robin Hood with the Kevin Costner, and they wash up on the White Cliffs of Dover, and they go to Nottingham by way of Hadrian's Wall. So that's basically they go on the bottom, then they go all the way to the top, and then they go down to Nottingham again. Like it's like.
Yeah.
It's Hadrian's Wall. We can recognize it. You're not fooling anyone.
You can. Americans can't. And I mean, he had an American accent.
No, I'm okay with the American accent. I can really? Live with the American accent. I can live with the American accent. It's fine. It's fine.
That one's
I can even
okay.
Live with a haircut. It's just that's kind of like washing up on in the Boston Harbor and then walking across like the Las Vegas Strip and then ending up in Miami. You know, like it's just like.
So a standard American airline flight.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, not nowadays. Well, what like, about... Wow, what's going on with Boeing?
So if that's... Yeah, Jerry Seinfeld here now. How about that airline food? So because, again, that Robin Hood movie was so historically accurate, are you living in a tree right now for defense?
Is that where you're we build our houses out of stone, unlike Americans. Is it true you just built all your houses out of wood?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I mean, you can get brick for your houses, but that's substantially more expensive.
But you have tornado, you have worse weather and worse houses.
It depends on where you're at. I mean, the US is, I don't know if you're aware, it's kind of a large country.
It's quite big, I hear, yes.
Yeah. So like even where I'm at, we get hurricanes probably once a year, you know, winds 100 miles an hour. No, my house is wood and, you know, some cement board siding and yeah.
Have you not heard of the Three Little Pigs?
Is that historically accurate as well? I didn't.
Very historically accurate, yeah. Why did, like, that's why in Europe all our houses are stones. Wolves.
Wolves.
And you've got bears. They're probably worse than wolves.
We do. Well, I mean, not around here. And foxes. Foxes can be really vicious.
Alligators. You've got alligators. Oh my god! Like I watching on YouTube. Like watching, like I see like these videos where there's like these guys in Florida just like having a barbecue by the river, and then there's this alligator that like creeps up, and they get like 2 meters away, and it's just in the grass. You can't fucking see it, and it's just like. Whoa. I would be devastated.
I've been to I can't remember the name. There's some. I mean, we obviously have a lot of touristy places, but every year we would go to the same place. And the one year we're driving, and right along the road, massive alligator. It's like no one get out of the car.
Yeah.
No,
they are fierce.
Yeah,
I would.
We're not Australians, though. Those guys, you know, giant spiders the size of your head.
Yeah. Do you know, I had a friend that did backpacking around in Australia, and he was working in the fields, you know, picking fruit, all that kind of stuff. And his mate, who he was working alongside, got bit on the cheek by a spider. And you know how, like, you know, macho guys can be at times, oh, it's okay, oh, I'll just brush it off. So he was being a tough guy. He was like, oh, it's just a bite, I'll be fine. Over the course of the next days, a few days or so, like the flesh on his cheek started rotting away, and there was like a hole in the side of his face before he managed to get to hospital and get it sorted.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, the chances of a spider actually killing you are very, very slim, but the chances of one doing that kind of damage, I mean, it happens.
Well, I mean, I would be interested to see the differences in mortality rate, like in the US or United Kingdom from a spider bite versus Australia. Because like they really do have deadly stuff. Like one of our community members, Hylus, he's like, yeah, it's not uncommon for them to be, you know, like that big and just sitting in the corner over there. It's like, you don't screw with them, they don't screw with you. Or
but the
kangaroos just on the road.
Oh yeah, kangaroos, yeah, man. That's...
Yeah. And he's like, and they, you know, they will, if you try to mess with them, they will beat your ass down as well. Like they will box you and they will win. It's like, no, you don't mess with the wildlife in Australia.
No, no, no. What? Yeah. Australia is a, apparently very nice though. And isn't Melbourne the city where they do a lot of filming in Melbourne?
I have no idea.
I think it's someone please definitely correct me on this one. But because it doesn't have like big landmarks, it makes it quite useful for filming so that you don't get an accidental Sydney Opera House in the background or something like that. I think it's Melbourne. It could be somewhere else.
I thought Sydney Opera House was in Melbourne, but again, I'll be very honest. I am a classic American ignorant person. It's never really explored the world yet. We want to travel, but I've never. Is it? I don't know.
I could be wrong. I only just said Sydney Opera House, Sydney, I guess.
Who's closer to Australia? I think you'd be closer to Australia. So. You or I. Oh, it is in Sydney. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'm loving this talk.
You're making me doubt my own knowledge.
Oh, I doubt myself all the time.
I know. I'm terrible for it.
Sydney Opera House is in Sydney? No, I think that's to throw people off. I think that's to throw people off. I think. Let's you know, get a Photoshop of Sydney Opera House that just says Melbourne on it, because obviously that's totally okay to go by at this time.
Also, by the way, since we're well off topic, just to bring us back on, shout out to Jazz in the chat, who is my, I'm assuming it's the same Jazz, almost certain, that who is the chief admin of toot.wales, which is an excellently run instance. And awesome. always very supportive of us on his instance as well. Okay, Jazz says admin, so you know, always runs, never down, excellently moderated, wonderful community there. And also, like, what I quite like about toot.wales in particular is my choice of Fedi instances is because, you know, it's obviously whale centric stuff. It's nice to be able to look into the local timeline and not see a whole bunch of like computer stuff. Like there's normal real people in there that is kind of nice.
Well, and I think so I talked to Stefano a couple days ago, who does Fedi Meteo, so the meteorology for the Fediverse. And you know, we were talking about, are there any kind of like critical events you can also boost out? And it's like, well, the problem is those are not centralized, right? Like if I have a local incident here, that is not, there's no one central place to get that, unlike the weather. And but I think that is a great benefit that the Fediverse can offer, is something like that. Like you can literally get local critical announcements, even unofficially, through toot.wales while being there. It is your local community while also being part of such a broader community.
Yeah, it's literally the best of both worlds. Like I couldn't ask for a better way of doing things, really, and a better instance. You know, I'm hugely grateful for all the work that Jazz and the other admins put in as well. And you know, yeah, support your local instance, people.
Yes, please do. They only exist because people can help them out, or they currently have the time and funding, but they deserve so much more than that.
Yeah, because I would struggle running my own Mastodon instance. I do know that Martin Wimperus has started his own go-to
Wimpy
social.
Did? So,
yeah, Wimpy did, yeah. As of a couple of days ago, I noticed he did the transfer.
Okay.
So good luck with that.
We talked about how easy Owncast is to get set up too, and it So one of the reasons I didn't set up a Mastodon is it requires a lot of things and it's heavy. And I'm just like, I don't need all of this. But then I found GoToSocial and like, it's a piece of cake too. It's not quite as easy as Owncast, but it's way easier than something like PeerTube or Mastodon or something like that. So
I have a confession to make. I have cheated in the past on Owncast. DigitalOcean do a one-click installation and it just works.
Awesome.
So if anyone out there's thinking about they want to like try Owncast but they don't want to faff around with the hosting, if you just do like a DigitalOcean droplet, it just fires you up I think it's a Debian 10 or newer, and it just installs it out for you out of the box. Set, and then you just do the smallest amount of configuring, like a DNS record and passwords and things.
That is still not an easy task, right? I think we need to come up with a way to manage those things as well. But I've never understood the negative side of, well, I set it up for myself versus, well, I had DigitalOcean, I clicked a one box. I like to do it, but I'm never going to look negatively on someone that took, you know, the easier route or however you want to call it. Like a hammer is a hammer. I don't care if my hammer was $2 and it does the same job as your hammer that, you know, has all the bells and whistles of a hammer, right? It's still a hammer. At the end of the day, it still gets us together and connects us. I think that's kind of an elitist view.
Oh, absolutely. And to be honest, there's only one reason I do it anyway. But this is a valid, this is something that I do think when it comes to the world of self-hosting, we are getting better at, but there's still room for improvement, is bloomin' SSL certificates. The auto-renewal things.
Caddy? Caddy is a reverse proxy, but it also handles all of your SSL stuff. I will set up Caddy just to handle the SSL. I never have to do anything. Caddy handles all of it.
How automatic?
Completely.
Oh, okay. There we go. I might have just underwritten my own point there. Wow. Yeah. 'Cause it has been, at least recently, the thing that, like, even instance like Mastodon instances and stuff like that are run by really, you know, like good instance admins, they'll forget. All you got to do is like forget to renew, and then bleh. And it's like, and they'll be like, oh, but I did a script, but then you updated once and then the script fell out of the thing, and that was one of the things about Gemini I thought was I was a bit give and take, because, you know, I don't know if you've ever done a Gemini capsule. Love Gemini. It's still going around, but the thing with Gemini is that the part of the protocol is that it has to have an SSL certificate. And I think that if it didn't, it would be, I don't know, it'd just be one less step in setting up the SSL. There are arguments for and against it. It's like, you lose the confidentiality, the anonymity, the privacy side of things. Absolutely. Yeah. I would say, but with Gemini, is there really that much of a cost? But then again, maybe, I don't know. Like, there's arguments to be made across the board for that one. But one of the things I always found was at the very least a chore. Check out Gemini.
Yeah, with Gemini, you're trying to do away with most of the BS that has enabled the current state of the internet, right? Ads and whatnot. It gets down to the basic brass tacks. But then, I could see that. It's like, but this one we kind of need. And it's like, you're literally passing just clear text. I don't know. I've never done Gemini. I thought it was a cool technology, but I never saw it as moving the bar forward. If anything, what Gemini does, you can do on a standard website. It's just the problem is no one does, right? Like, everyone adds in all the flashy graphics and the videos and the ads and the tracking and all that. But you don't need that. Like, you could strip it out and still get a Gemini-like experience without the hurdles of Gemini.
Yeah. What I do like, though, with Gemini, and this is the thing I wish we could do, and it should be easy. Maybe it's just a browser add-on away or something like that, is to be able to do websites with Markdown instead of the full HTML
Well, anyway, you can't do that as well with a static site generator.
Oh, yeah. I've been meaning to get around to working on one of those because I've been kind of thinking now I'm not working as a newspaper guy. I thought maybe I want to get back into writing. And I think,
Oh, there you go.
is it 11E? Is that the one that I hear a lot of people talking about?
I don't know.
E11Y or something like that,
I
which is
have
a
no
static
idea.
giant. No, that's I typed that wrong.
For my blog post, I actually use Write Freely because Write Freely is connected to the Fediverse.
Ah, Write Freely. But with Write Freely, you don't. How much theming do you get to do on Write Freely?
I don't theme stuff, so I have no idea. That's a good question. That's a good question. I mean, it's all open source. I think there are CSS templates, but that gets into that's way more than I want to play with. I think I have a theme on it, but I got it from somewhere else. So yeah.
But okay, I've just done a put a link in the old chat for everyone.
11ty.dev. 11ty.dev.
I think that's the right site. But yeah, very simple
Six,
thing
six.
that looked good. There was
Oops.
also oh, what does Hamish use? He like Hugo or something? Is Hugo still good?
I don't even know what
I don't
Hugo
know.
is.
11T, I think they have a presence on the Fediverse. That's where
Oh, even
that's
better.
where I find them. So I think
Well,
I don't.
we're
But
WordPress fully federates as well. Yeah, WordPress does now. Well, WordPress as an extension to fully federate, right? You have to add the extension. I've never used WordPress. I don't know.
No, with WordPress, even WordPress.com, they've baked it into the
Oh, have they?
UI itself. So it works exactly perfectly well.
And see, that's right there. That's why I think, again, the Fediverse is going to win this because anyone can jump on. YouTube can literally jump on. They just don't want to. Twitter can jump on. They just don't want to. Facebook just don't want to. WordPress jumped on. I think, well, hell, WordPress is run on so many, like, even legitimate news sources, so immediately they're connected to the Fediverse, right? And that's so good. That's incredible.
Local developer has pointed out though that WordPress is going through a somewhat state of crisis right about now.
Oh, I didn't know that. Your mileage may vary.
But yeah, and I to be honest, I got to be honest, WordPress was always one of those big FOSS projects that I never really quite got on with. It was too big for what it was. Write Freely, excellent. That's exactly what I want out of
Yeah.
a blogging software.
Ghost.
WordPress had too many bells and whistles and thing. Ghost is good.
Yeah.
But WordPress was always one. However, what I am excited to for an upcoming bit of Fediverse news is Tumblr. So that apparently they've recently confirmed that they're
Really?
still working on bringing Tumblr to the Fediverse because Tumblr actually, and the people on Tumblr, they have a personality. They are just weird enough to be able to fit in around here, I think, you know? So I
I
think.
wonder if the new Dig implementation is gonna, because Dig is coming back. I wonder if they're gonna jump on the Fediverse at
Oh,
all.
Dig. Oh, Dig.
Yeah, you
My
remember
God.
Dig? Dig was
Just
pre-Reddit.
about.
Yeah, the
God,
reason that
that's
Reddit
hilarious.
kind of blew up, in my opinion, is because Dig and shitified itself before shitification was a thing.
And Tumblr shot itself in the foot repeatedly.
Yep.
But now,
But we'll see.
I
Maybe
think.
these things getting connected all together again, where we can live where we want to live and get our news, can help revive these things. The way I look at it is, even if they don't, even if this doesn't help out with Tumblr, like, it helps out with the Fediverse. It makes us stronger. It makes us less likely that a Google come in and just, consume it and then start shutting down random instances however they want. I see this as stability. But so, speaking of Google, the reason you actually became a PeerTube exclusive streamer is due to their terms of service change. Like, why was that? We all kind of knew that Google, say what you want, it's a company. They are their number one priority is not you, it is not me, it is their shareholders, right? And they have to make a profit. So they're going to go with whatever political winds change, right? Whether I fully disagree with that, but from a business standpoint, whatever. So why was this, if you want to talk about why was the big recent terms of service change kind of the death knell for your videos on YouTube?
Okay, well, it definitely was the straw that broke the camel's back. It wasn't like like YouTube was just hunky-dory and da-da-da-da-da, and then suddenly they basically became transphobic, and then I that was like, no, you know. Like, the inshitification has been happening since, 2012, maybe 2014 or whatever. Yeah. Google Plus, I think, was probably
Google Plus,
and Bob and his tank and all that kind of stuff. Do you remember Bob and his tank?
I don't remember Bob and his tank. I remember Google Plus. What the hell was Bob and his tank?
It was this meme that, like, there was an ASCII tank and go, "This is Bob. Bob says no to Google Plus," or something like that. Bob is building an army.
Bob is building an army. I'm gonna look this
Bob
up.
Bob is, look it up. But it got worse from there. And I noticed that when they started to bring in Google Plus, people were leaving fewer comments. And that's kind of why, like, people, you know, like, everyone does YouTube or social media or whatever for different reasons. For me, doing YouTube was about the comments, right? You know, like, I loved hearing other people's thoughts, you know, even if it was disagreements. I mean, you know, I've changed my mind on more than a few issues over the years. And sometimes it has been like insightfully left comments that has definitely sort of put me on the right task, corrected me where I've been wrong, all that kind of. You can't get anything wrong on YouTube, or at least you couldn't, without someone pointing it out.
Yeah, that and was, even if know, it's, right? I've seen before, was like, well, this color is red, and everyone, you know, people jump in, it's like, well, it's not quite red. It's crimson. Actually like a crimson. And it's like, okay, yes, you're right, but that is a red. And I have not, as of least of yet, I've not hit anything like that on the Fediverse, which I like. Like, there is, yes, we can get specific, but it's fine. We are humans. We can, you know, live in the general list.
Oh my God. I was just thinking about that. Oh, the developer, the red, dress. the white and gold dress, or the blue and black dress. I thought it was, I'll tell you what, right? I love that meme. And I love that moment in history because it connected us all.
Yeah.
Right. It was like one of those things that, like, if I am ever, like, you know, if I've ever been on a date or something like that, and you just want something to kick off a conversation, was the dress white or gold or blue and black? Everyone's got an answer. Everyone's got an answer.
And there was no stakes. There was no stakes to it.
There's no
right?
stakes. Yeah.
Now, not to get political, now it's, is Ukraine defending itself, or is it the, you know, the aggressor? And it's like, It was such a simpler time about a dress, and it was white and gold, by the way.
To me, it was totally white and gold. I mean, it did turn out that in real life, it was black and red, black and blue. And but it was the lighting. The lighting had me. And you could buy that dress and everything. It's like, blue and gold. Oh, there's always one, isn't there? Always one. Internet. But anyway, the YouTube just getting worse and worse and worse. What else was bugging me about it? Oh, and it always goes through moods. Like there was a time like it wanted long form, or does it want short form, or does it want both? Does it want you to focus on live streaming? Is like, you know, and now that it's making the algorithm more and more integral, that. Like, I know how to get views on YouTube, right? In fact, to be honest, all I got to do to get views on YouTube, do a distro review video. People will just flock to watch those. It's easy views, and I did them for a long time, and they were easy views. And I built a lot of the subscribers that way. But over time, it wasn't the stuff. I got bored of doing it. It was the stuff that I wanted to talk about more in-depth things rather than, they've themed this an interesting way. Oh, this boots up a little bit faster. Oh, they've got a new splash screen. Oh, they've introduced flat packs from the beginning and all that kind of stuff.
Well, my whole problem with it is, and why I never really did that, is because there's literally people's livelihoods and their families' livelihoods banked on this thing. And literally tomorrow, like that, it can go away. And in the real world, if we're like, well, Walmart actually controls all the zoning laws, and right now they have, as of yesterday, they decided that your business is no longer viable. And it's like, what the hell? Like, that's not how this works. But yet, for tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people, Facebook changing their algorithm tomorrow to suit their needs, not yours, can completely go away.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you're not transphobic enough these days, and you've got a, you know, and maybe you've got pronouns in your bio, and then suddenly Mark Zuckerberg doesn't like that anymore. So he'll delist your rankings. Regardless of your politics, it's just a game of whack-a-mole as to whether or not you're going to piss off the algorithm that day. However, what I will say, I think I've worked out when the inshitification of YouTube began. Some people are just going to say, yeah, when Google bought it. I reckon it was monetization. When money came in, then it started becoming a potential for industry, and then that would be maybe a guess.
And you're talking about not people donating directly, which actually wasn't really a thing at first and eventually has become a thing. But you're talking specifically when Google started monetizing it as a platform via ads and whatnot. Yeah. That's your thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the advertising.
Yeah, no, I agree with
because
that.
I don't expect many people watching this are going to be familiar with the mainstream stuff on YouTube these days. But every now and then I'll catch the front page of YouTube when I'm not logged in or when I'm in incognito or something like that. And there'll be like a family vlogging channel, or there'll be a prank vlogging channel, something like that. And they'll have ad breaks every 4 minutes.
Nope.
And it's like, my God, how can people do this? This is the ads. Okay, so the ads were one of the other reasons leading up to it. I wanted to break away from advertising. I demonetized my videos years ago, but
the ads are still there now, right? Like they force those ads on you, even if you're not making money on it.
I mean, I would like to think that everyone watching my videos has an ad blocker. So I don't, you know, that's what I, so I don't, people don't say that there are ads on them. I've not heard of people having ads on them. So I think so far it's okay. YouTube might change that, and I could be wrong, and it might be the case.
I'm pretty sure Twitch, like even if you don't want ads, I'm pretty sure that there's still like a pre-roll ad or something that runs. It's like
something
you have
like that,
no choice in that.
And I like, you know, I like to have a place, just a place where we don't, where it's not predicated on people spending money. You know, I just don't, this is a hobby. I'm not actually that good at this, by the way. Like, I just have fun. That just sort of glosses all over it, right? Like If I wasn't supposed to swear, I've already sworn like three times this episode. Like, it's
which
like...
something as simple as that. We're adults, and you can get demonetized. Mm. You can lose your livelihood for that because you have to go by their set of rules, right?
Yeah, just
to let folks
crevice or
really,
hole. Yeah, or foreskin or grundle.
Five skin, grundle. Hecking heck, hey. Logo developer, watch your language.
No, this is a Christian server. I think you'll find
this is a Christian Minecraft server. Yeah, and just to let everyone know, you can view Chris Ware's stuff through his ad infested stream. You know, you only have to watch 20 minutes of ad, then you get 30 seconds of Chris Ware because he can control that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So speaking of the shows you do and the platforms you do, though, you have. Mm-hmm. Freebooters and Space Virgins. Do you want to talk about those real quick and where the names? I mean, Freebooters is pretty easy, but Space Virgins first contact. Like, which talk about first?
So, me, Drew, and Hamish, over the past like beyond a year or something, I think all three of us have had a pretty tough few years. I think it was really Drew was like kind of the motivating factor for it, but I think we were all kind of keen on just doing something as a friendship project, you know, just something to like take our minds off the shit that we're going through right now. And and Drew had always been trying to get me to watch The Expanse, like again and again and again. He'd been nagging me for years to watch The Expanse, so I folded. And so we had this premise, we're going to watch an episode, we're going to talk about it, and then, you know, that'll stick it up on PeerTube. It's a very simple premise. Yeah. Over time, it ended up just being a reason for us to come together and talk shit. Like, it's not really that much. It is still about The Expanse, but, like, my girlfriend watches it, she's never seen The Expanse. You know, people like friends of mine, they watch it, they've never seen The Expanse, they're just here to watch us talk shit. So once we finish the Space Virgins podcast, we're probably going to roll out something a little bit more focused on the bullshit and less about the subject matter, as it were.
Which you
but
about
we're still, yeah.
I always love the title cards that you guys have. Like who creates those? Because
that's
some of
me,
them are,
all me.
Those are all great. Me. I love those. Yeah.
I love doing them. They're absolutely, yeah. Like they're just, because the thing is as well, like even things like thumbnails on YouTube have
they
to
matter.
Be, yeah, here they don't matter. These are literally like my attempt at art. And as you can see, they're not even consistent. Like we only started doing them, like, I don't know, yeah. you can sort of scroll down to it there and you see the way we started doing them. So we came into it without a plan. And we left it with a distinct style that I kind of like. It is the most fun I've ever had making content on YouTube ever.
And that's
and it's
what
the least
it
serious
be.
I've taken it. Yeah, it's the least professional. It's the, you know, it doesn't have a schedule. It's, you know, it's not advertiser friendly. It's only in 720. Like it's not even high def. Like who gives a fuck, right?
But even the icon you posted for this Space Virgins that went up an hour ago, like guy, you know, behind a woman that has a very, very, let's say passionate face. And the name is Giddy Up. I ride you like I ride my horse. He's like, there's no way you can get, you could put that on YouTube right now. No one's going to see it. No one like Google, like, you know, it blows my mind. That's a very adult subject, right?
But the thing is, it's only a woman bending down in front of a man, right?
Right, and that's what I was going to say, is like, a kid's not going to get that. And the only reason we go there is because we're adults that are dirty-minded that go there. Like, yeah. So how did you come up with, so Space Virgins, how did you guys come up with the name of Space Virgins? I love that. Just because you had never seen...
Yeah, I'd never watched The Expanse, ergo I was the Space Virgin. Also, the thing is, okay, so, and it's also, it's easy to remember. Like, I'm not saying that we considered the branding, but it is that kind of typical, like, punk style branding. It's like, I suppose in some ways, not anti-advertiser friendly. It's, and this, I'm sorry if this is a little bit of a controversial opinion, so apologize, right? But it's a little bit like the GNU image manipulation program, aka GIMP.
Yeah.
Now, it's a word that a lot of people have a lot of problems with, and I get that, and I'm not invalidating that. That being said, GIMP is not going to get bought out by Google and enshittified. It is corporately protected. It's just all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, like that. Yeah, they could change the name. It's not the most pleasant of names. That being said. It, you know, like the only reason VLC hasn't been sold out and unshitified is because the VLC guy is an absolute legend. He could be a multi millionaire, and I hope he is in another way or something. That guy's really talented. But he could have sold it off to an advertiser. You know, he could have sold it off for a lot of money, and he did
worse. Yep.
Yeah. So you know, but like you know, Audacity that got sold off. Did he get sold off, Audacity?
Not sold off, but yeah, it was. I don't even remember. That was years ago now, right? Where they company started investing in it and then forcing like analytics turned on by default.
Yeah.
Your other show though, Freebooters.
Freebooters.
And I love the image on that one. YouTube versus YouTube, and there's just you. So where did you guys come up with this? And again, it to me it seems like the same thing. It's more of just a bunch of friends coming together, but it is good content because you're having fun and enjoying it.
That's it. And we engage with the comments and stuff like that. Like you know, we don't really ask for donations in the way that a lot of others do. We just ask for comments, like, you know, agree with us, disagree with us, ask questions, whatever. Just, you know, drop an email or drop a comment or hit us up on the Fedi or whatever, because it's just, you know, or even, and, you know, join the Discord. I know Discord isn't exactly, you know, FOSS kosher, but, you know, we're there.
One thing at a time. You got to go where, you know, people know and understand it before we
get our tendrils
in them and convert them.
You know, I, as big of an advocate for the Fediverse as I am, I don't like Matrix.
It has some ways to go.
I think it's overshot. I would say I like IRC, mm-hmm. but I like IRC is great. I hope IRC 3.0 or whatever's coming for that. That could be great. XMPP, that does the job. I think with XMPP, you know, we could work on the onboarding.
It's confusing IRC, as hell for XMPP. I tried XMPP like 6 or 9 months ago, and like just trying to figure out what client you need to do everything, which is none. You can't do everything on one client. But like, it's, for me, it was confusing. There's no way I can get, you know, my family to do it, where at exactly, least with Matrix, because of the phone apps and stuff like that, they all know how to use, everyone has phones, right? They know how to use phones, and they've at least made the phone app friendly. But every once in a while, it's like, yeah, it's not, it's saying that it can't decrypt a message. I'm like, there's nothing we can do with that. Like, you need to just kind of clear it out and go back in the desync.
Yeah. It's when something comes along that is compatible, we'll be there in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I think we're going to crack it. We're just not there yet. With instant messaging, it needs to be easy to onboard. It needs to be ideally lightweight, so it can run on countless devices as well. I don't know how you want to do, how it works, like federation wise, like whether or not, because like IRC, of course, is sort of centralized. Like you have centralized identities, but you do have, you know, various numbers of servers to join. That to me seems like the simplest way of doing it, because it's, well, like its benefit is simplicity. Like IRC, as I understand it, very, very lightweight to run. I would imagine, is it Libra Chat, which is like the current big IRC server at the moment?
I haven't heard of that one in years, but yeah.
Yeah, they couldn't possibly be spending too much money keeping that afloat. Like, it's got to be, no, I don't want to make assumptions, but, or QuakeNet or anything like that. Like, I'm assuming that because it's just text and it's a very old protocol, can you believe that IRC has been around since 1988? That is just amazing. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. It's as old as I am.
Well, no, and that's I was talking to someone literally yesterday at work about email, and it's like email is one of the oldest forms of communication, and because of that, it is an absolute bear to set up. And for anyone to want to run their own email server, the default at this time is don't.
Exactly.
It's impossible. Don't even bother with it. We need something, you know, newer.
And of course, the thing about it as well. I mean, some people do it. Hamish does his own email server, I believe. So there are, I know. So tougher men than us, I guess. But some people can do it, and they do have success. But the trouble that I foresee is that ending up in people's spam filters. I'm on what I think is the best email provider that there is. It's called Postio. You do have to pay for it. People think I'm mad for paying €1 a month for email.
That's all it is.
€1 a month. So that's not far from $1 a month, I think. You know, it's in that sort of ballpark.
Give it time. We'll make that gap widen. Don't worry.
and they use Square Cube. Is it Round Cube?
Round Cube.
For their front. And my mum uses it as well. I got it. She loves it because she's not terrible with technology, but she is a bit of a boomer. And she loves the fact that A, there's no adverts, B, it's lightweight, but most importantly, C, that the UI is consistent, right? Like, you log on to Gmail or Hotmail or whatever, every 6 months, they're going to change up the UI, they're going to add in some AI bollocks, they're going to do whatever. None of that with Postio. It looks like, I think recently they've added themes, so you can change up the colors a little bit. But other than that, it's basically the same as RoundCube always has been. And that's what you want from your email, right? Like I log in about, you know, a couple
one
of times.
One email.
You just want email. It's like, you know, you can use RoundCube on your phone as just log in on the web browser, and it works completely fine. Yeah, you can run it in through Thunderbird or anything like that as well if you want. I use Thunderbird, but like I just as easy, just because if I'm in an area, like I live in an area where signal can be quite bad, so it just makes life a little bit easier when you can pull down emails. But if you're in a city or something,
they're sustainable. It says
sustainable with renewable energy. They pay their employees well. They give their employees a free lunch. Have you ever worked at somewhere that gives you a free lunch?
No. I didn't even go most, yeah. like even in school we didn't get free lunch.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, I'm just there to learn. Yeah. And it, but in my thing with because I worked at a company that they ran their own email server because they pushed out tons and tons of email. It's not even just setting it up that's difficult because it is very difficult. But the problem is if you get a big company, Gmail, Yahoo, yes, people still run Yahoo Mail, and they decide to block you, it could be weeks to get that resolved. Like we had that where Yahoo blocked the company and it's like you have to go put in a form and then you have to talk to someone. It's like, no, we're not spam. And it's a massive, massive pain in the ass that these big companies just have too much power that they can just touch you. At least with something like Postio, I run Proton Mail, but with something like Postio, at least you have an entire company that like that is what they're doing. So many people are there. So they want to be good stewards and Google has less ability to just shut them down. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if there's a problem with your Google account, good luck talking to anyone about it.
Oh God, no.
Exactly. And with Postio, they just give you an email address for support. That's it's as simple as it ever could need to possibly be. You need to talk to someone. Here's an email address for, and it will go to someone.
Yep.
It's, encrypted, by the way, as well. You can also do encrypt on storage. However, it does come with the caveat of if you forget your password, that's on you. But sometimes if you because I don't encrypt my email because all I use my email for is, you know, life admin, right? Like it's nothing particularly. I know that's a little bit of a fallacious way of thinking, but it's like, you know what? I'm more likely to lock myself out of my email account than I am to need the level of encryption. Like it's just risk balance. The option's there if you need it.
Yeah.
But also they can, you can use their calendar and contacts and you can sync it through DavX on your phone.
Calendar, yeah.
Yeah, the calendar's pretty good. I mean, it's just a calendar. Like that's
but
the
that's
thing
what
it.
You need. You don't you need. Like all the ads on the side, like no, we're gonna make it better for you by forcing AI in there to answer your questions. It's like it's a fucking calendar. I want to see what I have coming up today.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just a calendar, just the contacts, just the email. You can have it threaded or listed view. Either way, like if you're proper old school, you want listed
innovative
views. Yeah, you know, it's just like
I remember when Google was that way. What, God, it's 20 plus years ago now? 30. 30.
And the, yeah.
Jesus.
It's
I was in high school when Google came out.
Yeah. Wow. No, I don't like other than watching YouTube, that's like all the Google I do now. I even managed to make now some people are not going to be able to get on board with this, but I have organic maps on my phone. I don't know if you use that.
Mm-hmm.
And other than like, so one thing Google Maps is really good at is the traffic.
Really good. Yeah.
Yeah. Shamefully, it's really good. But if you can live without the traffic, I find that organic maps is good enough.
But I'll say in the US, it is not great. The finding directions to places, a lot of times it doesn't actually exist on organic. It's getting better. But it still has some ways to go. But again, the US is gigantic compared to something.
You got
something
more roads. Like, is that just because the roads just not updated fast enough in OpenStreetMaps?
No, interestingly enough, they're updated. So we recently just had work on our freeway here and that was actually reflected there sooner than it was like in our car and on Google Maps. The problem is the businesses and the algorithm to route you to where you're going leave something to be desired. I literally, when we were going to Medieval Times, was it last week or the week before, we put in the address in our car GPS and it took us to the road, but the road no longer connected. It was a dead end. So then we opened up OpenStreetMaps, which had the right place, but had a hard time getting us to that route. So we kind of had to use both, but it's getting better and it's free and open and no ads. We're going
to. Yeah. And just to add to Intraz's point, when I talk about organic maps, they use the OpenStreetMaps to, I mean, nowadays, most of the driving I do is in places I know. So even if I'm just using directions to get to the last 10% of the journey, that usually does it. But sometimes, you know, you use your common sense, your knowledge of the road anyway. I do think that if I was driving to a lot of places that I don't drive to as often, I might have to succumb to the occasional use of Google Maps, especially when it comes to traffic. Because we got a few bridges near here, and if those and they get shut down, and if those bridges get shut down, your route changes a lot. So Google can be quite good for that kind of thing. But
and Waze was actually bought out by Google years ago, so I try not to use Waze either. So, but now for the real reason I asked Chris here. Let's give them an opportunity to win a prize of our lifetime. Our prize today, which I think you're going to love with that beautiful hair of yours, a 50-gallon drum of Cher's famous hair care products. And the created date says 1970, but I'm sure it's, you know, it's never been opened. It's new, mint, still in the box, you know. So
if it's good enough for Cher, it's good enough for me. Crack out the beehives.
We thought about a copy of the B movie script because I saw in your post how much you love that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We didn't know if you were allergic to bees or B movies or just B movie scripts. Didn't go with that.
I'll tell you what. Sorry, got to tangent over to B movies, right? I saw the Star Wars porno the other day. Star Wars XXX parody, right?
Yeah, I've never seen
now. No, it's.
I've seen a Smurfs one that was really disturbing. Oh no! But
the Star Wars XXX parody is amazing, right? Like the porn bits of it are very like they're very vanilla. They're very what you'd expect, right? Like forget that bit. I'm talking about the fact that they made a beat for beat copy of A New Hope using today's B movie like CGI tools and. Actors the acting is amazing and it's like what so I've been thinking about doing this project. This is another thing you could never do on YouTube but you might be able to get away with on PeerTube. Is take those like XXX porno parodies, cut out the sex or like and then just have the film of it.
I would watch that. I would 100% watch that.
It's you know like the, you know Tommy Wiseau's The Room. It's like that kind of like
I on YouTube I actually watch some of those like reaction videos to terrible B movies. I love those kinds of things. That'd be great. I would totally sit there with you too. If you're gonna do like a podcast with it, I'd love to do that. That sounds amazing. My kids can't be in the room, obviously.
And also one of the other films I keep meaning to do, like I keep thinking about doing like a more family friendly edit of. Is the third Human Centipede movie.
I've never seen it.
I've
never seen any of those.
Okay. So first of all, they're three of the worst movies you will ever see, but they are the worst in three very distinctive ways. First of all, they genre shift. Each of the three movies is a different genre. So the first movie is kind of like a 90s thriller like Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, that's what I always thought it was, yeah.
Yeah. The second movie is like a grindhouse horror, like it is just black. It's in black and white, and it is just raw gore and disgustingness. And it is the only film that I have ever watched where I've screamed out loud. Right? Word of warning with this particular film: you can get it on Amazon, but you will get the R-rated version, not the uncensored version. If you pirate it, you will get the uncensored version, and thus the part of it that made me scream out loud.
That's like drinking decaf coffee. Like why?
Exactly. One spoiler, he does fuck it. I'm just saying. Right?
I have no context of that whatsoever, but already I'm kind of like, yeah, I gotta.
It's awful. It is a horrible, horrible movie. I should not be talking about this movie. Like, I'm sorry, right? The third one, now, I will be straight up with you. The third one is very racist. Like, very racist. So just take that. Now, this is an idea that can only be conceived by the Dutch. So, and it is like the guy, right?
This show has completely gone off the rails oh my god. And it's
okay, so with that warning, I don't want anyone to like go in watching this under my recommendation and then to be like expecting good wholesome gore and ending up with just like, so the racism is just real fucking bad. I'm just gonna say that, and I'm sorry that it exists. That being said, but the racism is against everyone, right? Like
it's equal opportunity
racism, right?
Yeah.
However, it's also a comedy, like almost like a South Park sort of era comedy.
What?
Yes. And what's interesting is the first film is a film in the second film. Bore. And in the third film, the first and second films are films in that universe. So it's a universe within a universe within a universe.
Oh my god!
But the acting in the third one is something that I want to cut out all the worst bits of it so that I can legitimately give it to someone and say, "Watch this! This is wild." It is misogynistic. It is racist. It is woefully violent. I mean,
that's a perfect segue into our first question of the quiz. Are you ready for the quiz? I mean, I can't top any of that.
Oh, but... sorry. Can I do one other tangent as well? Yeah, yeah. This is slightly Fediverse related, but you got to see if you're going to get Tommy Wiseau on Fireside Feddy. Because
is he on the internet or is he on
he's on the Fediverse? He's been on the Fediverse since like the beginning, and he posts like once a year.
What?
Yeah, Tommy Wiseau, unlikely early adopter of the Fediverse.
You have to give after this. You have to give me his.
It is something like Tommy Wiseau at mastodon.social. Like
that's what I've kind of figured, but I've actually never seen The Room. Or the movie about him.
I haven't seen The Disaster Artist, but I have seen The Room, and I do recommend it. Right, like it's not a good film. It's not even an interesting film, but it is a film of all time. It is a film of all time. I can't even remember how you spell Tommy Wiseau.
I'm literally looking that up as well. I don't know how to. All right. So I'll look that up because that seems to be good. But, so on that note, favorite movie, why is it Spaceballs? Apparently it's the human centipede, but what's your favorite movie? Holy shit, he is on the Fediverse.
He is on the Fediverse, yeah.
Oh my god.
It took me a long... When you started own casting, you have the Spaceballs graphics and stuff. And you said, ludicrous speed, go! And Then the name I sometimes use for some of my gaming handle stuff is Ludo, L-U-D-O, Chris.
Because Ludo
is... Like it's the Esperanto for game, but also like etymologically, like Ludo just, it means just means game. And then Chris. So, when I do something like I think my Steam handle is like Ludo Chris or something like that.
Yeah, I forgot.
And then someone somewhere said, if you ever do speed running, you should be Ludicrous Speed Go. And then, because the thing is, it's like, I watched the speed like you, so you kind of got me watching Spaceballs for the first time, and it's like it's silly. It's a very silly film.
Yeah. I just showed it to one of our community members a couple of weeks ago. It still holds up.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
It doesn't.
It is just stupid fun. I love it.
It
silly is a great word. I love that.
The bit where the spaceship goes and then it goes.
Yeah.
I have to be honest, I watched that film at about 1.7 speed.
And but you still watched it.
I watched it out of respect to you.
I'll take it. I don't care. I'll take it. I still love that movie. I think it's, I used to be able to quote that entire movie. So, okay, if it's not Spaceballs, what is your favorite movie? And again, this coming from the guy that has seen the three Human Centipede movies and the Star Wars porn parody. It is Mel Brooks.
Well, I can give you my favorite Mel Brooks movie is obviously Blazing Saddles.
Oh, like, so good.
Just a good film.
I think Blazing Saddles not only holds up, I actually think it's more important to today.
Definitely.
The way that we're kind of sliding back with all that stuff, in my opinion. But sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's clever. Mel Brooks does a lot of films that aren't clever, they're just silly, like Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yeah.
It is like maybe the sixth best Robin Hood movie, I'm sorry to say. Everyone says and I think that's an unpopular opinion, but you know, Robin Hood, the Walt Disney cartoon version, I'll tell you what, that holds up.
I love that.
That holds up really well. Yeah. Birthed a Generation of Furries, that one did.
The Mel Brooks Robin Hood, I loved it as a kid, but then I went back and watched it and I was like, it's infantile.
I think maybe the second Robin Hood film, it might be the Kevin Costner one, you know? Might be the Kevin Costner one. I like that film, you know? It's got a great cast. It's also silly.
Big budget.
Oh, huge budget. I mean, you got Alan Rickman, Morgan Freeman, Christian Slater. Yeah. Who's the main guy again? I said his
Kevin
name
a few minutes
ago. Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
Did I say Morgan Freeman? You even had old wife beater Sean Connery in there, you know, like, yeah, it's all, yeah, he was King Richard.
Oh, okay, that's probably why I don't remember.
Also, I don't know if he completely is a wife beater, so I might like retract that one. He definitely hates, he's definitely a misogynist, he definitely hates women, so probably did it.
All right.
Okay, so best film for real is the 1992 starring Robert Redford and River Phoenix and Ben Kingsley and Sidney Poitier and Dan Aykroyd. That was the one I was thinking of. Sneakers. It is a film set in the shadow of the Cold War, where they, you know, the society, like the America has entered the, you know, the New World Order, peace and prosperity with Russia, and they, this group of like ragtag hackers, steal a key that can unlock any and all encryption in like American systems.
I don't remember the movie, but now that you say it, I know I've seen it.
Yeah. I think a lot of folks watching this will have seen it. If you haven't, it's really, really good. Like it's a light watching. It's not too intense. It's just a fun adventure movie. It's got a guy in it. He's blind. This is like a really good example of how to put, I'm sorry if I'm speaking out of turn when I say
No, no. But he says at one point, because I think I've seen this. He says at one point, guys, you're looking at the device and they're like, what do you mean? It's like, he has an answering machine there. And they're like, yeah, but he has voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
It's that one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is how you like write a disabled person into a film, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's to me now, I'm not like disabled or anything like that. So I'm sorry if I'm speaking out of turn or like whatever, but it's like they bring like a genuine, meaningful and important line of intelligence and knowledge to the group in a way that is, it doesn't, it adds to, you know, it adds to the mix. It adds, it lifts everybody up in a way. And it's a learning moment, you know, that like this guy presents all kind of learning moments about what it's like to be a blind person. And
he sees the world in a different way from them.
He
and that's
sees
why
the world in a different way. It's a little bit like, so I don't know, in the UK, we have, you know, crossings, like where you push the button, the green man shows up, you walk across the street. What a lot of people don't know is that on the underside of the button that you push, on the box, there's an underside, and there's a little nipple there, like a little button. That button rotates when you can cross, when the man is green. So the blind people waiting at a crossing can just check to see if it's safe to cross. Like, there are all these things around the world that are designed for people with various accessibility issues that completely pass a lot of people by. But there is this whole shadow infrastructure to this world that helps people of all abilities. And it's just like, it's just fascinating to have glimpses into these worlds.
I love how you call that shadow infrastructure, because that's in the US. I don't know about the button thing, but we definitely, when you press the button, you'll hear noise essentially. Mm. And then it'll be like, walk, and people walk across. That's That'd actually be a great video name, shadow infrastructure, for like showing off like the blind. Like how, you know, the little things that we take for granted, but that are very important in designing the world around different people. I love that.
Yeah, yeah. But like, when people think of accessibility in you know, in terms of infrastructure, they think of like wheelchair ramps and lifts and stuff. And that stuff is important. But at the same time, there's like bits of pavement / sidewalk where there are bumps on it, so people know when they're about to hit a road. Or
most people don't realize that. Most people think that that's there for traction, and no, it's to let people know that.
Or Braille on notes. I think Braille on notes is a bit more obvious, but our bills have Braille on them now. So
that's awesome. I don't think we have that. Yeah. But
and also, the thing is, in the UK, our notes are different sizes. Aren't all your notes like the exact same size and color?
Yeah.
Like that's got to get confusing. Do you ever hand someone a 20 when you should hand them a 5 or something?
Probably. And the thing is most people don't even realize, like, you can literally hand over a 50 instead of a 5 and everyone's like, oh, it's a 5, and then they change it for a 5, right? I mean, pretty much no one uses cash anymore. I try to, but
I kind of try to, but like, so many like I wish we had some kind of way of doing electronic cash that was at least not run by a bank. Like I crypto doesn't count. I mean, crypto is trying to solve a problem of online digital cash, but we need a better way. Like
but there's no regulation. There's a lot of people swindlers. There's no accountability, et cetera. But that's why banks exist, because there's so much regulation behind it due to market collapse potential and whatnot.
Yeah. So. I mean, I'm not an economist. I don't know how it would work, but the system we have seems okay. It's just that it's run by banks. Can it not be run by, you know, central government? I mean, money is a social construct. Money is created, and it's not created by the government. It should be created by the government.
Yeah.
And
I mean, in the US, it is, but you know, there's an inherent distrust in the government, especially in times of instability. It's a hard one.
So I want regulation, but I don't want a bank. Kind of, yes. I want the best. Yes.
Let's just go back to bartering. Here's some seashells.
I want to change what a bank is. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like I don't want a bank. I don't want a bank to be a for-profit institution.
For-profit. Maybe that's. Yep.
Yeah, it's the for-profit bit.
That's where, in my opinion, the problem comes in. I'm starting a nonprofit, and I'm trying to like talk to mentors. And the biggest question, I guess, why a nonprofit? Because I don't want to be for profit. I don't want to, I don't know. Anyway, it's built into our lifestyle here, I guess. But next question. Scrolls of Icarian Flight or a vegan Kit Kat?
Oh, you've done your research.
I remember watching the Scrolls of Icarian Flight thing, just laughing my ass off. And I also saw your vegan Kit Kat video on YouTube, but as I was doing research, I was like, oh my God, I forget about these.
Yeah, that was from 2019, the Icarian Flight video. Yeah, with Hex just, were you there? Were you playing with us?
I wasn't playing, but I saw that. And then when I saw you guys doing that, I'm like, I'm installing this and I'm going to try that.
Yeah, multiplayer Morrowind. Apparently I've heard that multiplayer Morrowind is coming to OpenMW. When that day comes, I love that put, you know, like that to me is open source at its best, is multiplayer Morrowind.
Well, I've never really played the Elder Scrolls games. Is one of those I always want to love, but it's just overwhelming. I need like a party to go with and keep me on track. So if that ever happens.
Oh yeah, it's such a good idea to the, like, it's such a good game for a party and for multiplayer. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's what they should have done with the new Oblivion game. They should have just put in multiplayer. It, like, they have a little disclaimer saying, look, this is going to break the game in certain ways, or it's going to be janky as fuck, but you know what? Give it a go, see what happens.
Yeah.
We should, like, video game companies should, like, we live in an age now where people release a game, you almost expect it not to be complete. Like, it's very rare for me to buy a game on day one. Do you know what? Let's embrace that on occasion and just, like, have some jank, like what the modding community does. Yeah. And just be like, you know what? Yeah, here's multiplayer Oblivion, you know, and you don't even need to run the servers. Do it peer-to-peer. You can do it. That's what, you know, the multiplayer Morrowind does. You just play it off each other's computer. We've got the resources for it now. Computers are, you know, they're so fast these days. Anyway, to answer the question, I mean, if I could get a scroll of Icarian Flight, well, I wouldn't want one. Because you go up, you don't come down.
Well, you do come down, but you won't go up again.
Oh yeah, exactly. So, but I mean, I would totally take that chance. Of you have to have two. Or what if you lost? Like, what if you got to read it in the air as you're falling down?
I'm like, I love this. The vegan Kit Kat's not even an option because it was just.
They're good. No, I'm actually going to choose the vegan Kit Kat. Actually, I don't trust myself. Yeah. Oh. Well, the trouble is, you get three scrolls of Icarian Flight.
Yeah.
So really, you need an even number. You need one on the way up and one on the way down. So I guess, but the chance of death is actually quite high. So, all right, I go vegan Kit Kat. They are good. If you do come across them, they're like, if you like a Kit Kat that's slightly on the darker side, it's nice. It's good.
As opposed to death, it's a good choice, is what you're saying.
Definitely better than death. And, you know, I love a good wafer-based chocolate. Like,
good wafer-based chocolate.
Definitely better than death.
Okay. So what does an alternative universe Chris do?
Probably something with computers.
Okay.
The thing is with me, right? I tried really hard at school to do computers for a living, and I did not get on well with my IT teachers. I don't know if I was like so keen that it was irritating, or I was a know-it-all and that was irritating, or I was a teenager and that was irritating, but I ended up getting put off computers at quite a young age because of school. And I always think...
Makes a difference having good teachers.
Yeah, the teachers make all the difference, just in terms of vibes. And I always wonder what that Chris would be like. You know, the one that went into computers professionally, learned how to code better, properly, you know, like at a professional level, or learned how to system admin at a professional level, or could finally get his SSL certificates worked out, you know, with a cert or something. You know, like... And sometimes I think, well, would I have ended up in a corporate environment and hated it? You know, did I end up a relatively lucky path? Because when I was, you know, like sort of looking around for jobs lately, I had a look in the corporate space, and the language they use and the expectations they have and the politics that goes on, I felt like it looked like a completely different world to me. I would have felt like a fish out of water. Some people can handle it and some people can't. I mean, I know you've had a lot of success in the corporate space, Ozone. So it's obviously
I've been in the corporate space. I don't know about success. It is a different culture.
It is somewhere where you have managed, from what I've seen, to survive in a place where I don't think I would have. So, you know, kudos to you. I am genuinely a little bit envious in that, because it's something that it just overwhelms me, I think. So, you know, I decided to go for maybe lower paying jobs, but ones where at least I felt like I just
fit in better.
Operated a little better. And maybe I'm happier for it. I don't know. Grass is always greener on the other side, right? Yeah. But I'll tell you what, like, you know, you're doing hella well for yourself as well. So I don't know. Maybe it would have been great either way. And maybe I've got no cause for it's thinking about the road less not traveled, right?
Yeah. Well, you know. I called up Alternative Universe Chris. I have a special phone for it. So, you know, it talks between universes. And when I called him up and asked, interestingly enough, it's interesting that you say that, the Alternative Universe Chris did become a corporate stooge. The problem is he didn't know what that actually meant. So he just walks into corporations and assaults people and goes, nyuk, 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 and then asks for pay. So I don't know how well that's working out for him, but he was calling from a prison. So, but at least we talked to him. So that's good. You know,
it wasn't a very good corporate stooge. Then they never put proper corporate stooges in prison.
They're above the law, right?
Things... Oh, I'll tell you what. Right, there's speaking of me as a corporate stooge. I many years ago, my identity was stolen for a scam. So I came across a website. Oh, I think someone actually in the audience forwarded me to a website where they'd seen my picture, and my picture, it was a still from a YouTube video, and next to it was Lewis Anthony businessman make $5,000 a day in on the Forex market. He was just like, he's doing foreign exchange, is a foreign exchange grift of some kind.
What?
And yeah, like it's weird to see it. I don't think it exists anymore. But then I adopted that name as my corporate, like middle Monica. Manager alter ego. Like, he's the guy that doesn't have a brain cell in his head, but he sort of, you know, because he's like, you know, white and a man and stuff, is just like mad and has this completely undeserved confidence. We'll just have a great deal of success in the corporate world.
Dunning-Kruger syndrome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just like a complete, like, you know, Donald Trump, but looks a little bit more handsome.
I would say a lot more, but I'm biased.
And not a rapist, by the way. No, I'm no, like just.
On that news, OpenTTT or Battle for Westnoth. That's going to be a hard one for you. I know that.
Like, if anyone who's my friend on Steam will know that on Steam alone, I've got Battle for Westnoth at about 600 hours, 500 something, 600 hours. And that's just on Steam, right? So everyone knows that you can get Battle for Westnoth in your standard Linux repository.
Which is fairly recently that it's come to Steam. So 600 hours is significant.
Yeah. I like the Steam version because I do like to clock my hours. And I like to, you know, fly the free and open source flag when I can. But I play with Hamish from time to time, and he plays on whatever, like he's in the Arch repository, so he plays that one. So in terms of just straight up hours, but I used to love Transport Tycoon Deluxe as a kid. I spent hours on that. And OpenTTD is a very, to my recollection, a very fair homage to that. Like, it seems very, very similar, very, you know, it scratches that same itch.
Sure.
Oh, it's a toss-up between a game I'm super familiar with and have played to death versus a game that I love but actually could go back and play it a bit more. I've got to say Westnoth just because I've got the hours in it, but OpenTTD, I love that game.
Okay, cool. As usual, the last question is going to be sent to you telepathically. So I will send it. I will let you know when it's there. Obviously, you'll know because we're telepathic. But for those listeners on the audio version, they'll know when I've sent it and expect your answer. So are you ready? Mm-hmm. Here it comes. Okay, what's your answer to the question?
Oh, come on. It wasn't like the sheep was underage.
All right. Is that the
answer? I knew it was going to be a Welsh one. Oh, and before you ask,
Oh, that, for those that don't know, that is the longest city name, hill name. What is it? Street name?
It's a town, name of a town.
A name of a town in Wales. And I think it's one of the longest names like in the world or something like that, right?
Longest name in Europe?
Longest name in Europe?
Not sure. There might be like, I don't know, somewhere in New Zealand or something that might be longer. But yeah.
How many times have you practiced it before you got it?
A lot. But there's a song. If you look on YouTube and you type into Google, there'll be like a helpful reminder song. And then you're sort of, yeah.
Yeah. And no one needs that spelled for them because it's very obvious. So.
What's amusing about that place name is that I'm pretty sure they decided to make it that long simply to like piss off the English. Just like.
I mean, that is the goal of, you know, the world pre-US, right? And then even a lot of the US was just to piss off the English. So.
Exactly. It's a good goal, yeah. I think that's the thing that our nations have in common is we both enjoy pissing off the English.
Congratulations, you got every answer either correct or correct. Good job.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So our community member Intraz, he was bringing your prize to you for your luscious hair, but he had an accident and he accidentally fell in to the 50-gallon drum of Cher's famous hair care products from the 1970s, and he absorbed all of it, and now he turned into Cousin It. But it's
very similar to how the Joker from Batman became
Superman. There you go. But he turned into Cousin It, and because it's from the 1970s, he also got a very fashionable pair of platform shoes. So, you know, once we get Intraz down from those platforms and give him a really good shave, I'll just make sure to punish him accordingly for losing your prize. So very sorry for that. But that's all we have for episode 13 of Fireside Fetty. Thank you, Chris, so much for joining
me. Thank you, Ozone. We're going to get you on freebooters at some point. This is
Absolutely. And thank everyone. I thank you all for watching. Please don't forget to share the episodes out through the Fediverse if you enjoyed it. The boosts, you know, tell me that we're doing a good job. Comments are always appreciated, especially constructive criticism. You have any suggestions for folks, don't hesitate to let me know if you want to join the show or someone else.
One thing that I do find is quite helpful, like quite a good thing if you want to support a creator in terms of getting the video out, like retweeting it, reblogging it is always good. But also, if you say something you like about the episode in just like a Mastodon comment or something and then link to the video, a lot of people kind of like that. It's not just like a reblog then you're sort of like, you know, like share it like you would recommend.
And we
it
to love to hear it. Like, we're not doing this for money. We're not doing this for fame. I'm doing it because I love talking to the people. I love finding more people. So that's
we're trailblazers.
Yeah.
You know, we're pioneers of a new kind of internet.
And I'll say this too, no one on the Fediverse is too small. I've talked to numerous folks, it's like, well, I'm uninteresting or my content, you know, is too small. It's like, no, we all have an interesting story to tell. Mm. We're all here together. This is our community. Let's share it with each other.
Absolutely.
But again, the show is about the folks behind the Fediverse. So if you're watching and listening, that includes you. We all have our own
like just
stories.
About I mean you've had some great folks on here, right? You've had Dance Up, you've had Stux, you've had
I've had Chris Ware.
I'm minuscule compared to those giants. Those guys are much more talented and intelligent than I am.
We all make up the Fediverse. If they made the software and no one was here to use it,
that's true. Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah, it takes all types to
it
make
it. It takes
a world.
All of us. Yeah. And we all have our own stories and whatnot. And for those folks out there, you know, don't ever forget that you're all worthy of time. You're all worthy of love. Mm-hmm. Don't forget to tip your admins, your software developers. Mm-hmm. This only works because we put time, energy, money into it. Mm-hmm. So thank you all for joining me and Chris. Again, thank you so much on
thank
episode 13 of Fireside Fetty. And we will catch you next time.
I love you, Ozone.